College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, I want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in the show. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Geico. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. And obviously, over the last couple of months on this podcast, we have been getting ready week by week to get you set for the 2017-18 season, going through different conferences, highlighting different players, looking at what programs would be on the rise or the decline. And that season, which we all were getting ready to start counting down to when practice officially began last week, is right now clouded with nothing but uncertainty because, as we all know, last Tuesday, an FBI probe led to a report that linked four high major assistants, one from Arizona, one from USC, one from Auburn, and obviously one from Oklahoma State, to a probe that was involved with bribery, with fraud, and with the potential for significant jail time. Now, in addition to those four assistant coaches, Tony Bland of USC, Book Richardson from Arizona, Chuck Person from Auburn, and Lamont Evans from Oklahoma State, the University of Miami was a program that was involved in the report, and also the University of Louisville. And Louisville right now is where we really dive into because, as you know, one of the biggest stories that I've ever covered in college basketball occurred last week when Louisville parted ways with Rick Pitino, a Hall of Famer, somebody that's revered in the state of Kentucky as their head basketball coach. Now, the difference between Louisville right now and the rest of the programs involved is Louisville was under NCAA probation when this came out. And the violation that Louisville obviously was accused of in this FBI report was brokering a deal through Adidas for $100,000 for a five-star prospect in Brian Bowen. Now, what does this mean, first of all, for Rick Pitino's legacy? Rick Pitino is arguably the best coach in college basketball over the last 30 years. He's a guy who took three programs, Providence, Kentucky, and Louisville, to the Final Four. He won two national championships. He has more pupils that are now head coaches at the Division I level than anybody else in college basketball, and it's not even close. I mean, you go on down the line. Billy Donovan, Tubby Smith, Herb Sendek, Mick Cronin, Kevin Willard, Steve Masiello, Kevin Keats, Marvin Menzies, Mark Pope, Travis Ford. The list goes on and on and on. But when you look right now at the last 10 years of Rick Pitino's career, there were multiple things that happened off the court that are going to stay in his legacy, especially when you consider his time at the University of Louisville. In 2009, he was the victim of an extortion attempt from a woman who he had an extramarital affair with. There was the prostitute incident 2 years ago, which occurred on an on-campus dorm. And this was the latest, the allegations that Louisville, through Adidas, brokered a deal for five-star prospect Brian Bowen worth $100,000. So that, to me, is the asterisk right now next to the final 10 years of Louisville under Rick Pitino. Now, what does it mean for Louisville moving forward? Louisville is going to have to take, you know, small steps forward, but I think it ultimately will take major steps back when the NCAA reevaluates this thing when the FBI is done. Louisville, despite all of this, despite Brian Bowen probably never, ever playing a college game, still has, in my opinion, a top 15 caliber team this season. They have five guys back from last year's team that earned a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament, who all played significant minutes. Quentin Snyder, VJ King, Dang Adele, Ray Spalding, Anas Mahmoud, all these guys are back. You add highly touted freshmen, Malik Williams, the big man from the Midwest, Darius Perry, a top 50 guard. There is more than enough for Louisville to be one of the best teams in the ACC. But Rick Pitino's not pulling the strings on the sidelines. And how will this team, okay, deal with the cloud of uncertainty that is now swirling over not just their entire program, but all of college basketball? We find out what Tom Izzo thinks of this and also check in with the guy who has a real chance to win his second national championship, which would be his first since his only one in 2000. Michigan State's Tom Izzo joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. College basketball practice kicked off last week, and obviously when we flip the calendar and begin practice, our minds go to East Lansing, and the architect and the face of Michigan State's program is Tom Izzo, and Coach Izzo joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And Coach, what do you think your reaction would have been a year ago if I would have told you that Miles Bridges would have been back for his sophomore season?
I'd have said you're crazy. I would have told you that 4 months ago. You know, I thought, John, as you know, you and I have talked, that I thought he was going the whole time. But, you know, there's a lot of surprises in sports and a lot of surprises in this job. This happened to be a very positive, good surprise.
You know, Miles showed great maturity during this process and being – kind of a Pied Piper in some ways for a kid who could have been a lottery pick and opted to come back. What did you learn about him as a young man during that process that maybe you didn't know prior?
You know, that's a great question. You know, for the most part, Miles did handle it. And he didn't want to go through the process. He let me check with a few teams, but he didn't want to handle much of that. I think he had his mind pretty much made up on, you know, talking to some of our pros, talking to some of his buddies that were pros, you know, and he just felt like he wasn't ready to do what he thinks he'd do. He didn't have an interest in being just a D-League guy like a lot of them are so much now at the beginning. And he thought another year, he enjoyed college, he was doing well in school. So you're right, his maturity level was better than mine, put it that way.
Now, the big difference this year for him during practice for you guys is there's actually going to be legitimate live bodies in the paint. What changes for him right now every day that you have more health and you have more depth up front on the baseline?
Well, like you say, last year we had 1'6'8" guy and then we went down to 6'6", you know, or so. And I think now we've got like six guys that are 6'8" or bigger. So practices are a little uglier because there's a lot more block shots. But for Miles, you know, it's going to force him to do the one thing he really needs to do, and that's improve his ball handling skills. We've had him on the perimeter a lot. He played there, you know, a decent amount last year with the new stretch fours and everything. Now he's a three, and if the numbering system makes any sense. And just putting the ball on the floor and guarding maybe the guards out there, the two adjustments he's had to make. He's done a great job so far.
You know, Coach, it's interesting. We've seen kind of an evolution in college basketball and really basketball in general, but in our sport, especially the past couple of years, that small ball four is kind of the new in position. We saw it with Duke a couple of years ago with Justice Winslow. We saw it with Oregon with Dylan Brooks. How are you going to handle it if it turns out that your team is maybe better with Miles at the position, the small ball four, that won't be the position that he's getting set up to play in the NBA?
You know, I'm really not worried about it. I have enough guys that I can go big, I can go small. And I think Miles is versatile enough that he can play a lot of different positions. So, you know, we'll cross that if we reach it. But, you know, Jaren Jackson, Chilling, Ward, they've all been very good. And Miles is a very unselfish kid that can play different roles and do different things. So I don't see that, John, as a problem. But you're right, it'll be something we'll have to be ready for, and if we do, we're going to adjust. I know this. Miles Bridges is going to be on the floor.
Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Spartans, one of the top teams in the country entering the upcoming year, and the team to beat in the Big Ten. Now, for me, one of the fun parts of watching your team evolve in the middle of conference play last year was the evolution of Cassius Winston. Your team was 9-3 last year when Cassius had seven or more assists. As somebody who's coached great point guards on teams that have gone far in the NCAA tournament, how do you feel about your point guard situation?
Well, I don't think there's any question, John, that, you know, we played, you know, Tum Tum there, and he's one of the great leaders in college basketball, one of the great guys. But Cassius Winston has to be maybe the focal point guard in the team because his ability to run a team, you know, the last year maybe not in as good a shape, last year maybe not understanding the defensive principles. But this year he's had a great summer, and I even think you'll see those two playing together some. But there's no question that I think to have a solid point guard who can do the kind of things he can do is going to be valuable if we're going to be the team that I think we could be.
Aside from Cassius, who would you say is your most improved returning player from last season?
Well, I'm excited that we've had more than a couple, but believe it or not, Matt McQuaid and Kenny Goins were two guys that were injured and missed 7 months the summer before. And now they've had some things under their belt. Ward's in better shape. Been really impressed with Jaren Jackson, but he wasn't here with us last year. So I think we've had, you know, the nice thing about Miles Bridges is he's a worker too. And probably Langford has improved as much as him and Cassius, maybe of the guys that I see playing the most minutes, has improved the most.
You know, Coach, it's interesting you mentioned Jaren Jackson, because if he was on any other team, a team that didn't have the type of talent and experience returning as you guys did, he would be talked about really as part of the vernacular of every preseason conversation that we have in college basketball. How unique is his skill set considering how big he is and how long he is physically?
I was going to say you guys might not be, but I'm talking about him because I think he's a unique player here. You know, he's got a little bit of Adrian Payne in him, but he's better in some areas. He's got the length. You know, he's 6'10 and a half. He's got a 7'4 wingspan, and he's a 3'8 student. So he's kind of picks up stuff quick. He can shoot a three. He can pass the ball. I mean, you know, he's going to have to get better. He needed to gain some weight. He went from 220, I think, four to, I think he weighed in yesterday at 242, and it's been good weight. And so it's a hell of a kid. I mean, I'm blessed to have this kid because as good a player as he is, he's even a better kid.
Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Now, you're on an unbelievable two-decade run. Michigan State, under your watch, has played in 20 consecutive NCAA tournaments. What's harder, reaching the NCAA tournament 20 times or getting to a Final Four in 1 year?
Well, you know, for us, getting to a Final Four, we've done it 7 times, so that's been pretty good. But I think keeping a streak like that alive is difficult. But there's no question, you know, John, you've been around and we've talked many times. You know, a few years ago with Gary Harris and those guys, I felt like we really had a team that could get there, and we got beat by UConn in the Elite Eight. And 2 years ago with Valentine and them, I thought that was a Final Four team. We got beat in the first game. So we, you know, you got to be a little lucky. You got to be good, I think, in anything you do. So I think with the Final Four and the situation of being one and done and you can be out, it's probably a little more difficult to get there than the streak.
Well, and, you know, it's funny that you brought up the last couple of years, because I've remembered, you know, 5 or 6 times in the last probably 7 or 8 years we've talked about, you know, the importance of, you've always said, is seizing opportunities if you get that far. You guys went to the championship game in 09. You went back to the Final Four in 2010. And you had, obviously, what we think was the best team in 2014. Now that you've been through it so many times and you see what you have to work with every day at practice, how much of your thought process has been just thinking about, with the group you have, making sure, you know, you seize this opportunity?
You know, a lot. I'll be honest with you, and I don't hide behind it. You know, everybody talks about the pressure, Miles coming back, the pressure, having a good team. I mean, we do have a good team, and I don't want to hide behind that. I think sometimes I've been too hiding behind that a little bit. And so I'm going to embrace the pressure that's placed on us because nobody's placing more than I am. And I told my players that. I said, you know, you came here for that reason, so let's embrace it, enjoy it, and realize, though, that it is difficult and you don't get many opportunities. You know, it's not like every year you have both some experience and talent and good guys and chemistry. You hope to have that every year. That's just not the way it is. So this is one of those years. I think we have that, and we're going to see what we can do with it.
You know, and I think that the Big Ten this year is such a unique league to cover because you look at some of the blue bloods and there's a state of transition. Indiana and Ohio State are going to have first-year head coaches, and Wisconsin is going to have four new starters from a team last year that reached the Sweet 16. When you look at your league, who do you think your top challenger may be, and who do you think may emerge now that there's a transition at some of the top programs?
Well, I think you're right about that, but I think, you know, in all honesty, I think what our league is a couple of years ago, we were real strong on top. We had four great teams ranked in the top 10 all the time, and this year it might not be quite that way. I think us at Minnesota and Purdue will be probably the highest ranked teams, but I think Michigan's got, you know, a pretty good team coming back. You know, Maryland, you never know about. They lost a few good players, but I think Iowa's going to be one of the sleeper teams in our league. They got very good young players. So, you know, it's so hard to win on the road in our league, John, because every time you go to a campus, it's a packed arena. And that's the uniqueness of our place, of our league. And I think we've really got, as you said, enough good teams to make it extremely competitive. Some of it depends on who you play once and twice. That's a little confusing the last 3-4 years now that these conferences are getting bigger. But in general, we unfortunately got a lot of competition. Minnesota has got, I think, 8 or 9 back or something. So they might be the favorite of all favorites.
Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Coach, I know we're basketball guys and we like to talk ball, but have to get your opinion and your reaction to, you know, what you were feeling last week when you saw the FBI probe and report come out, you know, involving obviously some figures in our game.
Yeah, you know, sad, I think, was the first word. You know, bad for some coaches, for some assistant coaches, for even some players. You know, where everybody thinks, I hear some people say, well, you know, let's catch these people and let's do this. And I never feel good about it, you know, because there's some good people. And not knowing any more than you know in a lot of ways. I mean, I know what goes on out there. You know what goes on. But to the depth of, you know, we've never had an FBI investigation in my tenure. I can promise you the only thing it didn't affect me on was my sleep. For me, but in our program, but sad is the best word, a little embarrassed on our profession. I care about our profession, and yet until I know everything and everything's kind of, instead of speculated, more things are proven, I'm just going to hold my thoughts and figure out where we're going.
When did you notice recruiting change, Coach? I mean, you've been doing this for so long. Was there a point you can really look at where you saw a shift in just how the process was altered?
Well, I think we're some of the blame for it. You know, the more money you make, the more pressure there's on people, the more pressure there's on people. Sometimes it makes you do other things. I'd say as the money went up, but there's always been problems in college basketball or football or any other sport. There's been some, but you know, when some of these things happen now, AU ball has gotten crazier, as you know. You follow that close, and that's created some new problems. So, you know, last 10 or 15 years, I mean, it gradually, nothing happens overnight. It usually takes time, and, you know, we got some challenges ahead of us. But at the same time, maybe it'll help us all open up and figure out what these challenges are and how we can best suit them to make it better for programs and definitely for the players.
Final thing for me, you know, again, you're one of the stewards of the game right now. How do we amend the process? What would you do if you could tweak a couple of things to make college basketball as a product cleaner and better for everybody?
Well, I think that we need to look at all parties. You know, I hear all these things, all the 18-year-olds are old enough to make great decisions and the pro thing and all that. And, you know, Bobby Knight said 25 years ago, you know, the people that are usually at fault are the players accepting things or the coaches that are giving things. And if those two people are, then those two people should be punished. You know, I've never been a fan of the school getting punished. I mean, usually the schools don't know what's going on. So, you know, just more accountability by all of us is probably the one thing I'd look at. And yet, not knowing everything, you know, I really don't, John. It's hard for me to say at the same time.
All right, Coach. Well, we appreciate a couple minutes. Know how busy you are. I will be out in East Lansing in 2 weeks, so looking forward to spending the day with the Spartans. And best of luck as you continue to progress here at the start of practice.
All right. Great, John. Thanks a lot for having me on.
We'd like to thank Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. Once again, we are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, I want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Geico. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. And it's time now for the social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Archie V. And it's, John, how do you see Louisville's season going under the new head coach? And I talked about this in our first segment of the College Hoops Today podcast this week. Louisville, to me, is top 15 talent, but David Padgett is coaching the team. Obviously, Rick Pitino is not. That is something that you have to keep in mind, but Louisville has great leadership at point guard with Quentin Snyder. It'll be interesting to see how this group bands together under a new head coach. Our next question comes from Paul Tobalt, and it's, John, what's your thoughts on Purdue? Purdue, to me, is a team that will be ranked between 20 and 25. A team that, for all intents and purposes, has a chance to be one of Michigan State's top challengers in the Big Ten, that you're going to see Vince Edwards really become a player nationally that shines now that he's a starter alongside Isaac Haas. He's been a really good player for a long time. I think Vince Edwards will really shine for Purdue. Now we want to get into some more news and notes, and we have to obviously keep it with the FBI probe that we're looking at. And look, now we talked about Louisville at the top. We talked about Louisville and everything that's going on with that program. And the difference between Louisville and the other five programs that were mentioned in that FBI report, USC, Arizona, Miami, Oklahoma State, and Auburn, is Louisville was under NCAA probation, and that's why the university opted to fire Rick Pitino. So what is going to happen at the other places? At the minimum, you are going to see, I believe, a lack of coach control charge to all of these head coaches, because in 2013, the NCAA put a rule in place that the head coach is ultimately responsible for everything that happens in his program. So I think you're going to see lengthy suspensions. If it's not next season, it'll be the following season after the NCAA does its own investigation, after the FBI is done, at SC, Arizona, Miami, Oklahoma State, and Auburn. We have seen some of these schools, Oklahoma State and Arizona, already terminate the employment of the assistant coaches that were involved. But for me, what's interesting is Auburn, obviously, under Bruce Pearl, had two players mentioned in the report. We don't know who the players are. We've seen, obviously, some word out there that they could be one player or another. But for me, the players that are mentioned in the report and the players that are investigated, those players could be ruled ineligible if these findings come to be true. And that drastically shifts a lot of what we're going to see this season. And that's why, as I've said and as I've written on many forums, the season we were preparing for in college basketball is over and it's done with. What's going to happen at SC? What's going to happen at Arizona and Miami? Arizona, a team that, like Michigan State, was a consensus top two or three team in the nation. Miami, a team that was expected to be between 15 and 20. And Auburn, a team that had its sights set under Bruce Pearl to get back to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2003. The only thing we know right now in college basketball, that's for sure, nothing's for sure. I'd like to thank Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I am back on the road again this week. I'll be going to the Midwest. I'll have plenty of nuggets from around the nation to share with you next week. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel, as well as the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.